Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D&Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
This is the Fade Route with D&Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Yes,
Josh
we do.
Josh Naylor is the first domino to sign, first player to get signed or agree to a contract. The Lions and the Eagles, are they in trouble? And the NFC West, man, that's a tough place to play. We begin today's show with the Broncos taking down the Chiefs, the defending AFC champions, to improve to 9-2. Now they pulled three games ahead of Kansas City, who currently sits in the ninth seed, out of the playoffs and looking in. Devin McCourty and Jason Garrett said on Football Night in America that the aura is gone and teams are no longer afraid of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Z, is this how the Chiefs dynasty ends?
So, it was a physical game. It was definitely what you expected from the Denver Broncos. Or is it as epic as they've had all year in terms of quantity of sacks? No. But the simple fact that they got Mahomes pressure, they had Mahomes flustered, they got him three times, right? They got him three times for 27 yards, three sacks. They picked him off. They got in his kitchen. They absolutely did. And when they say, when McCourty and Garrett say the aura is gone and teams aren't afraid of them, I think that's what they mean. They're not afraid to put him on his ass. They're not afraid of what might come of that, right? We saw it in the Buffalo game. He got tattooed. Mahomes got straight up tattooed in the numbers. In years past, that would have been a flag. 15-yard penalty, Chiefs by a million. Not this year. Not this year. So, there's definitely a little bit of the bloom being off the rose, especially, you know, what was the running narrative last year? How are the refs going to bail out the Chiefs? And this year, there doesn't seem to be as much of that, if any. Now, by no means are the Broncos like the overall favorite, right? Because you have the Patriots, you have the Colts. We're going to get to who our Super Bowl circle of trust is later. But this defense plays, man. If they could get anything out of the offense, the Broncos will be a dangerous out. Now, you can't rule out the Chiefs because the season's not over, right? The Chiefs can get through this on muscle memory. Sometimes it feels like that's what they're hoping for and that's what they're banking on, is that we'll turn around. We're good. We're good. The guys are in the room. We've been here before. But they definitely got punched in the mouth by the Eagles last year. They didn't recover all that well to start the season. Started 0-2. And the Broncos are for real. The Broncos are absolutely for real. Now, you do have to be concerned with the fact that Bo Nix still didn't throw a touchdown, right? They beat the Chiefs, and 24-37 for 295, no touchdowns, no picks. That's fine. That's an okay stat line. You got to put the ball in the end zone at some point, right? McLaughlin is the lone touchdown, the rushing touchdown for the Broncos. So offensively, this team leaves a lot to be desired, but defensively, they can carry anybody. The Chiefs still have the possibility to squeak in, and if they happen to get in, all bets are off, because I think that muscle memory does kick in and they become a dangerous out. This may be the end of it. This may be the last of it, but I can never count out Andy Reid. I can never count out Patrick Mahomes. They will find a way to rebuild. Brett Veach is a good GM. They're going to have to figure out this cap issue. They're going to have to figure out how to get players in there and get players to stay. But as long as they have the quarterback and as long as they have the coach, they have a little bit more time left in them. But kudos to the Broncos. They took it to them, and they made me look good because I was the only one who picked them. So that's one for me.
Really? I didn't pick them?
No, you picked the Chiefs, dude.
Very silly of me. Very silly of me. Especially of going against my Super Bowl pick.
You know, this year, they're just not getting those one-score games. They're 0-5 in one-score games, right? I think they only have 6 interceptions all season, and Mike Dana is tied with a couple of linebackers and cornerbacks with 1. Mike Dana is a defensive lineman. You got Kareem Hunt leading the team in rushing with 353 yards.
Yikes.
Kelsey's leading the team in receiving yards at 631. He has 4 touchdowns. Like, I don't think it's the or, is he? I just think, you know, they play a lot of backyard football, and you know, it's just not working this year. Very few times does he drop back to pass and then flick it to where it's supposed to go. Most of the time he runs around, does a little dance, throws it downfield, and there's a guy that, you know, broke coverage or was held, right? How many times do we see that happen where he scrambles around, throws the ball away, and all of a sudden it's 5-yard holding penalty, automatic first down, because you can't stay in coverage that long, right?
No.
So that's where I am. I don't necessarily believe with the aura. As far as, you know, if they got into the playoffs, I don't know. I think going to Kansas City and beating Kansas City is a lot harder than if they were have to go on the road and play like Buffalo in Buffalo, or have to play Denver in Denver. You know, so I, you know, they are the defending AFC champions, and they definitely have, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But, you know, Rasheed Rice missed a lot of balls over the weekend. Like, they were there. He put it where it was supposed to go, and he didn't catch it. Bad interception in the red zone. He looked like, on that play, Patrick Mahomes looked like a backup quarterback. What did you think the guy was going to do? Let it go over his head? You threw it right at him. Like, you rolled out to the right and you threw it right at him. And he's like, holy shit, he's throwing the ball right to me. And he caught it. Like, just, it's uncharacteristically bad. Like, they kind of lost the game on a play like that. Like, they get 3 points there, or they get a touchdown there, they could possibly win the game. They hung in with the Broncos for 3 or 4 quarters, but that was because of the Broncos, right? I mean, so for me, I don't think the aura's gone. I just think the stuff that went right last year is going wrong this year. And your top rusher is Kareem Hunt, who looked exhausted on Sunday and looked like his body was, he looked like me trying to get up after falling down. It's like, oh God. Somebody else run the ball, you know, and And I thought defensively they played okay. They gave up, obviously that catch to Franklin, but for the most part they were holding Denver in check. And it sounded like Denver, Sean Payton said that at halftime he was very happy with the way they played because he felt like Kansas City was a first half team and we're 6-6 and we're right where we want to be. So they were executing a game plan that they thought would work. And, Denver did it without their best defender. Essentially, they didn't have Sertan.
Sertan was out.
And they also did it without J.K. Dobbins, who their best running back was out.
Done for the year. Where have we heard that before? So the Chiefs have to jump the Texans and the Jaguars. You're telling me
they beat
the Chiefs
them already, right?
Yeah.
I think those teams beat them already, too. Well, at least the Jaguars did.
Yeah. I mean, the way the Texans and the Jaguars are playing this year, it's possible that it could happen because the Jags are nothing special. The Jags are absolutely nothing special.
Jags are terrible. Yeah. They're dog shit.
The Texans are doing this without CJ Stroud. So
this week.
Yeah, Davis Mills is probably going to play again.
So Davis Mills, 2-0 as a starter.
Yeah. They're worse with CJ Stroud.
CJ's third week from a concussion, dude?
Yeah.
This is his, I believe this is the second or third year he's dealing with. This is probably the second year. No, it's second or third year he's dealing with concussions because I remember the Jets gave him a concussion. So he's, I don't know what's going on with him.
It's not pretty. But then you also have, technically the Ravens are behind the Chiefs, but they do have a identical record. They have an absolutely identical record. So you have to chase down the Jags and the Texans, but you're also being chased down by the Ravens.
The Ravens are dog shit. The Ravens keep waving up this flag at everybody saying, we're terrible. Look at how terrible we are. We almost lost to the Browns. We're that terrible. We're so bad. We can't complete passes. We're running tush pushes with our tight end. We're terrible.
Hey, man, that design on the tush push actually worked where he spun out and ran for the touchdown. Andrews, that was a good design. I thought that was a good design on their part.
To beat the fucking Browns by that. That's the only reason why they won that game is because of that play.
The Chiefs converted a fake draw off sides. Like that, this is what they're resorting to this year. Like that, this is becoming the norm in the NFL. That backyard football that you're talking about, the fakes and the trickeration, and people are just going out there and playing. There's not that structure. There's not that, ground and pound. There's not the pocket passing. Like, it's just scramble, make a play, let it play out as long as possible, and hope that there'll be a pass interference or an illegal contact or some kind of holding. And then there's your chunk play. I don't even need to catch the ball. I don't even need to catch the friggin' ball. Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
So moving on to the ever volatile NFC South, where seemingly everyone but the Saints are in play to make a run at the top. The Bucks, the preseason favorite, seem to be backsliding after taking a beating against Buffalo, dropping Tampa Baker to 6-4. Meanwhile, the surprising Panthers beat the Falcons again. Panthers improved to 6-5 by and pretty much ended Michael Penix's season with a knee injury. That puts old man Kirk back at the helm of a team he couldn't get going a year ago. Can Captain Kirk steer the ship to a respectable finish and, dare we say, a playoff berth?
All right, so here we go. You ready for this? Saints, Lupus, Seahawks, Bucks, Cards, Rams, Saints to end the season.
I see three
wins. I'll be damned. I see five wins. I see five wins right there. Now, five winnable games, right? The Cards will probably have nothing to play for. Lupus is Lupus. The Saints will fuck up their draft stock if they win. So they're in that position.
I disagree with you on the Arizona. Jacoby Brissett's playing damn good. Damn good. Top 12 quarterback the last couple weeks.
Yeah, the rest of the team's no good around him, though. That's a major issue. Maybe Brissett's having a great run.
Maybe they get Benson back. Maybe they get Harrison back.
Maybe. But, you know, meanwhile, you have the, you know, we'll talk further about the NFC West in a little while, but, you know, the Rams may not have anything to play for in week 17. Like,
what do you mean?
They may have it locked up.
You think they're going to lock up the one?
They may have it locked up by then, you know, because the Eagles aren't anything special this year. The Rams are playing very well. Niners are good. We're going to talk about that. The Seahawks are good. They're hanging tough, you know, and the one matchup I'm looking at with intrigue is that matchup on December 11th, that Thursday night against Tampa Bay. They're going to need that game. Mm-hmm. So Tampa Bay is going to have to pull out all the stops because, you know what? Say what you will. We joked about it. Carolina's not going away. But Carolina is not going away. That's
Rico,
you know, that's
Dowdle.
Rico MF Dowdle could make Bryce Young a playoff quarterback. But that's some crazy shit right there. But to go back to the Falcons, this was no go with Kirk Cousins, right? He had negative chemistry with London. He had negative chemistry with Pitts.
And London's done.
London's done.
London's out. PCL, he's not likely to. I don't see why you would even bring him back.
He's done.
Even if he was healthy enough to play, I don't think you play him.
No, he's done. So that leaves you with, you know,
Mooney. Darnell Mooney, baby.
Darnell Mooney and a heavy dose of Bijan and Algier. I don't see it. There are winnable games out there.
But you said you see five.
I see five winnable games.
Oh.
It's possible. Like the Saints, you can chalk it up to two. The Jets.
I don't know, man. The Saints, it's in New Orleans. They play better in New Orleans.
They do play better in New Orleans, but then they do have to go to Atlanta for one of them. So, you know, Kirk Cousins is as talented as anybody. He's annoying as hell. But, yeah,
You pay Kirk Cousins all that money.
And you drafted Penix.
You drafted Penix just to be in this situation.
Right. To be right back where you were when you signed Kirk Cousins. So,
and I'm pretty sure, like, the Rams have the Falcons pick. As crazy as it's something like that. Like, I think the Rams have, like, their first-round pick.
So, in short, I think Cousins could maybe give them a jolt for, like, a week or two. But then again, that jolt is also coupled with the fact that you're playing the Saints and the Jets. Like, that's more about the jolt than anything else, is your competition. Because once you start getting into guys like Seahawks, you get into the Buccaneers. Like, yeah, no. Like, you lose me. I, at this point in time, Kirk Cousins is firmly a backup quarterback. He's good for a couple weeks. And even then, still not that great. He's not that great. He's very well paid. He's the Roger Dorn of the NFL. Forget about Dorn because he's only high priced.
His agent is the best agent of all time.
King of the bags. King of the bag. But, I mean, stranger things have happened. Let's put it that way. 3-7, you'd have to go on a 7-game heater. You know, like that seems a little far-fetched. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I think you're probably, you're looking, three definite wins, five maybe, and that's pushing it. But without a full complement of weapons and no chemistry with the weapons you have, it's an uphill battle for one Mr. Kirk Cousins. But he does have Bijan. And if Raheem Morris can remember that, hey, Bijan Robinson is actually pretty goddamn good, their shelf life is extended exponentially.
Yeah, how about the Falcons passing on Ben Johnson, passing on Jim Harbaugh. They passed on all these coaches to take Raheem Morris, and that hasn't really turned out so well.
Who's on the hot seat yet again?
No, I mean, they should be better. They should be better. I don't know why they're not. They have Bijan. They have the quarterbacks that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They have talented wide receivers. They have a defense that's hot and cold. There's times they shut people out. Then there's times when they can't stop the fucking Carolina Panthers. Like, what are you talking about? How is Bryce Young doing this, man? Like, what are you talking about? What's happening right
he
now?
He looked like Alabama Bryce Young again.
So, I don't see Atlanta doing anything. And I don't see this Kirk. The only thing I can say for Kirk is maybe this is his last run. And he just realizes after this he's going to hang it up. Because I don't think there's anything here that screams, you know, that he's going to push them forward like a Joe Flacco. Like, you know, Flacco is like a live arm and a bolt of life for his receivers. You know, like, oh, man, we can rally behind him. And we even saw what? We saw Matt Ryan go to the Colts and play competitive for a couple of games.
You just mentioned Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett looks great.
Mac Jones.
He looks better than the second baseman, Mac Jones. Yeah, Mac Jones. And Rodgers has had moments where he has looked like the old Aaron Rodgers, but now he's broke his wrist, so
yeah.
I don't think we're going to see much from him either. But, you know, crazier things have happened, but I don't foresee Kirk, you know, reinventing the wheel here. But let's jump over arguably to the best division in football, and that's the NFC West, where they beat each other up this weekend. The Niners drubbed the Cardinals in the desert 41-22, while the Rams survived the Seahawks 21-19 on a Jason Myers miss at the gun and a terrible game by Sam Darnold. Spam Darnold. Scam Darnold. There's still plenty of in-division football to be played, but when the dust is settled, how many teams will be left standing in the NFC West?
Oh, that's a great question. So currently, when you're looking at it, the Rams are two. Eagles are one, Rams are two. Seahawks.
And you're okay with that, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It is what it is.
That makes sense to me. I can see it shaking out that way. How about the Chicago Bears are 7-3? How?
Chicago Bears are the three.
Chicago
seed.
Bears are 7-3 and are in first place in the North. Wow. Just wow.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah, I would say one team's coming out of the North, right? You got one from the East.
One from the East. At least three in the West.
And you could have maybe you could potentially have two in the South.
Maybe. I mean, Carolina, everything if would Carolina, have to break, right?
If yeah. Carolina keeps struggling along, they beat all these teams. They beat all the teams in their division. Like, they can beat the teams in their division. They've proved they have a top five rusher. They have a top five rusher. They have a defense that apparently can stop people.
Yeah, I care about
that. So what are you leaning towards? You're leaning towards one in the South or two in the South? You could be honest. Don't let me sway you.
Not thinking one.
Okay.
Because when you look at the caliber of the team, other teams, right? We didn't mention the Packers. Now,
no.
The Packers and the Lions. Right? Those guys will beat each other up, and I think the North will take two because the quality of competition is better in the North than it is in the South.
Okay.
That leaves us with three West teams.
Four.
Now the question is, like, who is it? And you know, I'm not even that confident in the Niners.
What do you mean? Who is it? If you're gonna say there's three teams coming out of the West, there's only three teams.
Now, where are they gonna be?
Where are they gonna be
in the seeding? Yeah.
Mm.
Now the Rams, I think they're head and shoulders above the other two teams. Can I trust that the Niners aren't going to get hit with another injury bug or get derailed again? I can't trust that because How many times do I have to see it?
Yeah.
How many times do we have to see it? The most inopportune time that Kyle Shanahan's system fails their quarterback, or Christian McCaffrey gets hurt again, or, you know, Ricky Pearsall gets hurt, or whatever. George Kittle. Whatever. It's going to be somebody. And it's going to be at the worst possible fucking moment. So I have more confidence right now in the Seahawks, in that I trust that they'll stay healthy to a degree. Now, if Sam Darnold plays the way Sam Darnold played, we're probably going to flip that. We're probably going to flip the Niners up.
Well, I think the sad part for me is I think on Sunday we saw just who Sam Darnold is, right?
Yeah.
That's who he is, guys. Yep. It's like when he plays a top – and listen, the Rams – and the Seahawks are some of the Rams, the Seahawks, those guys all play really good defense. So let's not pretend like, you know, he wasn't going up. He's not playing against, like, you know, trash, you know? So.
No, but that's the thing though. Like when Sam Darnold plays against quality competition,
right.
You saw it in the playoffs last year.
Right.
He can't right. live up to the moment. He right. can't rise to the occasion.
They're bad. I mean, one of those probably wasn't his fault, but the other three were.
Yeah.
And despite throwing four interceptions, they still almost won the game.
They were still in it.
They still yeah. were in it. You know, so we found out who Sam is. You know, we've known who he is. Sam is very good. But he's good enough to get you beat.
He's firmly in the good enough to get you beat category.
He is.
100%.
And they have enough talent on that team where they can overcome his flaws.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what Minnesota realized and got rid of him, because they figured out, you know what? For as good as he is, we're not – and good as good as we are, we're not good enough to overcome his flaws.
Right.
And it's worth us trying to find, you know, another guy – that we can maybe play around. I mean, I have the Rams going to the Super Bowl. I had that. I still have that. So for me, that's an easy one. The problem I have with the 49ers is they're just too beat up. And I just don't trust them. I mean, do you trust them? I don't really trust them. I don't trust them at all.
Historically speaking, I can't.
And, you know, for the Seahawks, they have Sam.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best wide receiver in the league statistically this year in Ajigba. AJ Barner is a decent tight end for them. They're playing excellent defense. So I have them at two. And then I have the 49ers at three. You know, I don't. They're
or you
just
have
Christian,
all three
just,
as playoff teams.
Do I? Yeah, I think I – you know what?
Because on the outside looking in right now, the next three teams out of the playoffs, Lions, Panthers, Cowboys.
Yeah, so for me, I would probably say that I only have two coming out of the West and I'll have two coming out of the North. I think ultimately the Lions and the Packers, depending on Jacobs' injury, will be the two teams that come out of the North. I don't believe in Chicago. I don't believe in Caleb Williams. I don't believe in the smoke and mirrors that they have going on there.
Interesting.
I believe they're coming. I think they've shown growth this year. They've shown depth. They have Manungai, who seems like he can run the ball. Loveland has showed in recent weeks that he's a difference maker. But Caleb still is missing guys. He's missing guys. Bad.
He has improved. But I think we do need to give credit where credit is due. He has improved his escapability. So he is not taking those sacks like he was under Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
So there is something to Ben Johnson's system that fits him a little bit better. So, I mean,
Swift has been a disappointment this year.
Yeah.
The defense, I can't name anybody in their defense worth a damn. So, I mean, just from that perspective, you know, I think that the Packers have shown glimpses. I believe in Jordan Love. I want to say that I think Matt LaFleur has done a nice job with his team there.
Whoa.
know. I do. I think he did. And then I think the Seahawks, and Kenneth Walker's healthy. Kenneth Walker's healthy. Charbo's healthy. They've got a good system working there. And their head coach is a former Raven. He knows how to coach defense. And it's a tough place to go up and play. You know, if you got to go to Seattle and win a game there, that's definitely not easy.
No.
And
the 12th man definitely plays a big role in that.
And they hung in and almost beat a team that I think is the best team. I think the Rams have the best defense in the NFL, like top to bottom. I think them and the Eagles probably have like two of the top defenses in the league. And despite four interceptions, you only lost by two, and really 5 feet to the left, and you win the game. You know, and maybe that might bring them down too, is their kicker. Neither team is a good kicker, so we'll see what happens. But now moving on to the Sunday night special, as the Eagles squeaked out another win, topping the Lions 16-9. Jared Goff looked overmatched by the Eagles D, while the Eagles offense sputtered yet again. Who's in more trouble, the Lions or the Eagles?
Well, Dan Campbell took over play calling offensively, and this is what he mustered. 255 for Jared Goff, one touchdown, one pick. They were in his kitchen all night.
They were going for it on fourth down. I think Amon Brown had 12 targets, 2 catches.
So, yep, 12 targets, 2 receptions, 42 yards. So, yikes. Your leading receiver was Jahmyr Gibbs with 5 catches for 107. So,
a running back.
He had more in the air than he did on the ground. He only had 39 yards on the ground. So, that seems to be a little bit of a panic. That seems to be a little bit of a spur that Dan Campbell's trying to put under his team. And against a good defense like the one the Eagles had, the one that can pressure the quarterback like they did. Jalen Phillips was in the backfield. You know, the usual suspects. Jalen Carter, you know, Cooper DeJean was back there. So they made Jared Goff look ordinary. They made Jared Goff look like Rams Jared Goff. That's pretty bad. So, offensively, it's hard to say that the Lions aren't in trouble because they just got dismantled. But when you look at it, when you really look at it, Jalen Hurts is throwing for 135 yards. He had the lone touchdown, yes, but you're gonna, you know, people love to, like, RG3. For all you haters out there of Jalen Hurts, this is what's happening. It's pedestrian.
How about A.J. Brown? I want to say he had 11 targets, 8 catches for 46 yards. Something like that.
7 for 49. Close. 7 Useless. For 49. Nailed it. On 11 Useless. Targets. Yeah. So, and it's not like Saquon had a great day either. 26 carries, 83 yards. So,
and Devonta Smith, I know, didn't get many targets. I think he had one catch.
One catch for 8 yards. Nailed it. So the Eagles have to figure this out. Yes, they're the defending champions. Yes, they steamrolled the Chiefs. But they're in a little bit of an identity crisis right now as well. Like, what are they? Now, if they're going to be a defense-first team and Jalen Hurts is just going to be game manager, okay, like, you can roll the dice and take your chances on that, but I cannot guarantee you that you're going to survive against the Rams this year. You narrowly survived against the Rams last year. And in reality, the Rams should have beaten you, but they didn't. We're talking about an 18 seconds. They were 18 seconds away, and they couldn't get it done. So, because the defense is humming on all cylinders, I'm going to give the Eagles a little bit of a pass because they do enough to win. The Lions, their defense was not great to begin with. If Aiden Hutchinson's not rushing the passer, it's very ordinary. And now you have a very ordinary offense. The Lions are in trouble right now. And they're on the outside looking in. Could they still make the playoffs? Absolutely. But no more than like the sixth seed at best.
Yeah, so for me, I think in the long run, I'm probably more concerned about the Eagles. I think the Lions have the ability to put up points. They definitely have the ability to rush the passer. So I'm not really too much worried about the Lions, but for the Eagles, it's like you said, it's just like, why aren't we putting up 30 points a game? And now they just lost Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson is a Lisfranc injury in his foot.
He's done.
He's not coming back until the playoffs, if that. And it's just like, I believe they have a losing record when he's not in the lineup or he doesn't play compared to like, you know, plus probably 20 when he does. So I don't know. I've watched a lot of the Eagles games this year and I don't, there's no urgency. There's no aggressiveness. It's like they run plays and it's just like, all right, let's go run another play. Like there's no excitement. There's no love for what they're doing. Like, yeah, A.J. Brown got 11 targets and he caught 8 passes or 7 passes, but for 46 yards, 49 yards, and no touchdowns. What happens? They get into the close and it's the tush push.
Right.
Barkley, no rips. He ripped the Giants for a 76-yard touchdown, and of course, the week I'm playing him. But outside of that, he's not really getting – you're not going, woo, whoa. You're not blown away by what they're doing offensively. And – you know, Jalen is just, I mean, he just doesn't have that. He just doesn't seem like he's got any urgency. He doesn't seem like, you know, he's trying to push the ball downfield. And there's a reluctance to run, which I really don't understand because that is the bread and butter of the team. Like, if you threaten the team with Hurts running, then, okay, all of a sudden we can't play man on A.J. Brown. We can't play man on Devonta Smith. We've got to switch up our coverages. And that's when you can take advantage of them with the pass. Again, maybe they're just worried. Maybe they're just worried about getting their quarterback hurt. Maybe that's what it is. But honestly, they've got to change it up. They should be taking more shots. They should be running the football more. I want to see Jalen Hurts running more, and it is because he's my fantasy quarterback. I'm not going to lie. Gosh damn it.
I mean, you're getting all those touchdowns, so you should be excited about that.
Yeah, and he's I think he's only thrown one interception all year, and he's only fumbled once all year.
He's been good. But there is a very conservative approach to the offense, and I wonder how much of it is due to the A.J. Brown bullshit. I wonder how much of that is.
I think AJ's got a point. I think he should be frustrated. I think he's like 6'5", like 265, man. He's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why isn't he just running by people? Why isn't he Calvin Johnsoning this shit? Like, what's happening?
Like, it's a fair question.
Like, if the game plan was to get AJ the ball and throw AJ the ball, then why did he score any touchdowns? Why didn't he go over 100 yards receiving? I think he has more 3 reception games than he does, like, any kind of big game. Like, you know? And it's just like, that's just not going to do it. It's just not going to do it. You know, it's efficient to win, but I mean, I don't know if it's efficient to win a championship. I don't know if it's efficient to beat a Rams team. Like, you know, what are they going to do when they're down? I mean, they haven't played a game where they're really down by a lot, right? But what happens when you're down by a lot? You know?
Well, the thing is that they're built, right? They're built as a run-first team, right? You have Saquon Barkley. Down in the red zone, you have Jalen Hurts. That's your bread and butter right there. There's your bell cow. Now, it's nice to be as balanced as possible. But the identity of this team is a running team. This offense is a run-first offense. It's nice that, you know, if and when Jalen Hurts decides to rip one, he can. But that's few and far between. And, you know, they're doing enough to win. It's not on style points. So they're just kind of like, you're right, they're just kind of like ho-humming it down the field. And it's just like, oh, we're just going to get to the 1 yard line and we're going to stick our hands in Jalen Hurts' ass and push him across the goal line. We're going to give him a friggin' prostate exam on the field. So, you know, and the Lane Johnson thing is interesting because how, yes, the next man up, but Lane Johnson's one of the best right tackles in the league. Like, how are you going to replace him? Like, the guy that's coming in is good, but he's not Lane Johnson. And is he going to effectively block during the tush push? Right? Because Lane Johnson's very good at that when he's not false starting on every play. Right. So we're going to see how, and we're going to keep an eye on, like, how that line play affects Jalen Hurts' play, how it affects Sirianni's play calling, and maybe they do have to open it up a little bit.
I don't think he calls any plays. He's kind of like that Jim Harbaugh CEO type. John Harbaugh kind of type, yeah.
Yeah, but if they can't run block, like, they're gonna have to start ripping some passes here, and Jalen Hurts is going to have to, you know, open back up and show that he's the guy that people think he is.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. Air Care Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact Air Care Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
We're officially two-thirds of the way through the season, which is absurd. This is week 12. So you texted me an interesting question last week, and it got us thinking. So let's put it out there for everybody. So who is in your Super Bowl circle? So what 8 teams can you picture hoisting the Lombardi Trophy come February?
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about it. I mean,
well, the Jets are out.
Yeah, yeah. It's safe to say that both New York teams are out.
Lupus is a no-go.
Yeah, that's a non-starter.
As much as Miami is surging, I can't see them going all the way to January, right? We would agree with that, right?
No way.
I'm going to say the Patriots.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I can't see Buffalo. I've seen enough of Buffalo where I know that they're not going anywhere. Josh Allen had 6 touchdowns this past weekend. They're going to be playing the Texans on Thursday night. I bet the Texans give them a very hard time. Cleveland's out. Cincinnati's out. I don't believe in the Ravens. I'm sorry. I don't. They wave this flag and just tell you how terrible they are. I don't believe in them. I can't see them winning the championship. Pittsburgh's out. Tennessee out. Houston out. Jacksonville out. I think the Colts have a balanced team. They play good defense. They run the ball. And they're most of the time, Daniel Jones is efficient. So I can see them hosting a playoff game and winning. Vegas out. Chiefs out. Chargers out. Chargers look like dog shit. 81 yards. Did you guys take the bye week a week early? Denver's my pick to get to the Super Bowl. I'm sticking with Denver. The Giants out. Commies out. Dallas out. I can see Philly win it. Minnesota out.
Chicago out. But I believe in Detroit.
Interesting.
I don't believe in the Packers. I don't. Especially if Jacobs is hurt, I don't believe in the Packers. New Orleans out, Atlanta out, Carolina out, and the Buccaneers, after what they just did against the Bills, out. Arizona out. I like Seattle. I like the Rams. I can see the 49ers doing it.
Wow.
So it's a stretch. Really, I have six, but if I wanted to stretch it to eight, I could. So I've got the Browns, the Patriots, the Colts, the 49ers, the Rams, the Eagles, the Lions, and Seattle. That's what I got.
That's fair.
Any gripes?
Honestly, what did I tell you the other day? I am struggling to put eight as legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
So what do you got? Five?
So I had, when we first texted about this, I had four.
All right. That's
narrowing. And here's why it's narrowing. My list, as of last week when we started this, when we had this conversation, it was the Patriots, it was the Rams, it was the Eagles, and it was the Chiefs. Now, what did I say to you? I said the Chiefs could get in and they can make a run on muscle memory. And then Denver happened. So Chiefs are out. No, Chiefs, you're out of the circle of trust. I'm sorry. So I'm down to three sure things.
So you won't even let Denver replace them?
I'm down to three sure things. Now they are on... Denver's offense
scares
me.
What's your problem with Denver, man?
Denver's offense scares me.
But what about their defense?
Yeah, their defense is fine. You got to put up points.
You have to score. Championships, man.
So does offense. They got to score.
No.
Bo Nix cannot survive a playoff game with no touchdowns.
No.
No touchdowns from Bo Nix. No passing touchdowns. No rushing touchdowns. No nada. That's great yards. Wonderful.
I've seen Peyton Manning win games with no touchdowns. I've seen Donovan McNabb win games with no touchdowns.
Is Bo Nix Donovan McNabb or Peyton Manning? No. No. So, they just lost Dobbins. So, the onus is even more on Bo Nix now. Because RJ Harvey, I picked him as a green light, and that looked pretty friggin' stupid on my part. Just was not there.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Did he get 12 carries or 8 carries?
About. And he had one pass. He was 0 for 1.
McLaughlin got the touchdown.
Yeah,
right?
McLaughlin got the touchdown. So there's that. I don't believe in the Bears. I'm like you. The Bucks are a talented team. I just
don't know. What the hell's going on? How do you let Josh Allen do that to you?
I don't know.
How do you do that? You're a physical, aggressive, Todd Bowles defense.
And they got shredded by Josh Allen.
You let one man score six touchdowns against you. Yeah. Six.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's your ass. What the fuck, man?
No. It's like,
At what point do you just go to Lavonte David and be like, yo, you have one-on-one with Josh Allen. He is your responsibility. Just go wherever he could. Just spy him.
Put a spy on
him. And count to three, and at three, go get him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no. At some point, you have to do something.
Zone defense. You are on him. Man to man. Mano y mano. Go get him.
Nah, we're just going to let him. We're just going to
let
him.
No.
We're just going to let him torch us.
We're going to let him truck us. We're going to let him dive over us.
That's the...
We're going to let him throw bombs on us.
Where's the fun in that, coach? The Seahawks.
James Cook? I don't need James Cook.
No,
give me the ball.
No, not again. He's running Gable's offense again. I don't need no stinking running back. Just leave
I don't
my
need
head.
That.
I'm going to leave my fucking head. Oh, God. Jackson Dart. The OG Jackson Dart. I don't believe in the Seahawks. It's a well-rounded team. I don't trust Sam Darnold. The Packers... I don't trust the Packers. I don't believe in the Packers. In the beginning of the year, I was high on the Packers. I thought that they would be in the NFC title game. They just can't get anything going.
Scam Darnold on the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just with Jordan Love and the Packers, it's just very...
I don't know what's going on there either.
They can't really
lots
score.
Lots of young talent, young receivers.
They should be putting up more points.
They lost their tight end, and they're lost without him.
They struggled to beat the Giants. They struggled. They lost to the Panthers. So that's who the Packers
Giants
are.
Giants should have won that game.
We'll talk about that later. The Niners, I don't believe in. I don't trust them. The Lions, they're a mess right now offensively.
What's your concern with the 49ers? Is
health. Always health. Always health with the Niners. It's not talent. They have a very talented squad. It's always health. You know, moving over, I will put the Broncos near the circle. So near the circle. Steelers, no. I'm not going to say no on the Bills, because when the Bills can turn around and deliver that ass whooping like they did to the Buccaneers, you still have the glimmer of hope.
It really wasn't an ass whooping, right? It was more, they just scored more. That was it. I mean, they both put up points.
They put up 20 more than their competition. So that's an ass whooping as far as I'm concerned. Jaguars, no. Chargers, hell no. The Chargers.
Herbert had 81 passing yards.
Atrocious. Absolutely fucking
Vidal
atrocious.
Had 30 yards receiving. Yeah. And 30 yards rushing.
They're having to rely on Keenan Allen again.
Against the Jaguars in Jacksonville.
No.
Huh?
Nope.
What?
So teams really can't come east. The Colts, I don't believe in because I don't believe in their quarterback. Chiefs are dead. Texans, if it's Davis Mills, forget it.
Quarterback's a top 5 passer, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what he does in the playoffs.
All right.
That's cool.
Turn around and hand the ball off. Turn around and hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor.
You're not going to get cupcakes in the playoffs. He's very good against cupcakes. He's very good against cupcakes. Texans are dead. Chiefs are dead. Ravens are dying. Dolphins are dead.
The Ravens are dead, dude.
Yeah. Bengals, dead. Raiders, dead. Lupus, dead. Titans were never alive. And the Browns are dead. So, realistically, 5 teams. 5 teams. That's all I could muster. And even then, it's a stretch. Some of them are a stretch, in my opinion. Just to try and fill out that circle. But, yeah, no. I'm a true believer in the Patriots. I'm a true believer in the Eagles, and I'm a true believer in the Rams. I think they are the most balanced, and I think that they will represent themselves very well come February.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
All right, so moving over to baseball, as the first free agent domino has fallen, Josh Naylor has re-upped with the Mariners for 5 years in the $90 to $100 million range. As a New York sports show, this naturally turns our attention to free agent Pete Alonso. Once again, someone beats Pete to the punch and sets the floor for his services. What will Pete Nab in free agency? Where will he go? Sounds like the Mets are talking to Devin Williams. Is that true?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you guys doing?
Don't ask me. I don't know. I don't want him. So the idea is that they're going to bring in Williams as the setup man and re-up Edwin Diaz, and then you're going to have a back end of the bullpen.
Diaz is going to LA.
Diaz is going to be a Dodger. Although the Dodgers are also linked to Devin Williams. So
that would just be silly.
Well, they could have... It's L.A. It's not New York. The expectation, the pressure isn't as much. The crucible of New York is much stronger. And if you could have a back end of the bullpen of Scott in the 7th, Williams in the 8th, and Diaz in the 9th, that's pretty good. And if Vesia comes back, pretty good. Right? And if they ever decide, hey, Roki, this isn't working, you're gonna come out of the bullpen. Roki Sasaki was pretty goddamn good out of the bullpen. So it's an embarrassment of riches once again for the Dodgers. But this isn't about the Dodgers. It's about Pete Alonso, damn it. I'm tired of talking about the Dodgers. Fuck the Dodgers. So realistically, what are the markets for his services? The Mets, obviously. If the Phillies lose Schwarber, I think he's in play.
I heard the Blue Jays are in on Schwarber and in on Tucker.
Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Right?
I could see that. That could be real. I mean, could you imagine?
No. No. I can't. That would be wild.
That would be fantastic if you're the Blue Jays. Wild. And then they re-up. Are they going to re-up Bichette? Are they just going to let Bo walk at that point?
I think if they get Tucker and Schwarber, they can't take Bichette back. No.
That's probably the right move anyway. But if the Phillies lose Schwarber, I could see them swooping in and making an offer to Pete. Now, Castellanos is probably going to go too. So if Harper is up for playing right field again, you can put Alonso at first, or you could probably sweet talk Pete into being your DH. That's one team. That's one scenario I can see really, like, vividly. The second one, Boston Red Sox. Pete Alonso and the Green Monster. That ballpark was fucking made for him. He could probably put up 60 jacks in Boston.
They've had a problem at first base for a long time.
Yeah. Now they have Roman Anthony's an outfielder, but you know they've been trying
Casillas,
Tristan Casas. Yeah.
Casas. But
you know they've tried guys there, and it hasn't stuck. It hasn't stuck for a while, but Pete could play absolutely in Boston. So that's two of them. I know you love the Giants. I don't think he would go there. The other team that is intriguing to me, you know, just to see, like, what are they going to do, right? Because you have young players, and would he want to be the superstar on a young team? Like, you put him with James Wood, you put him with CJ Abrams in Washington. Now all of a sudden you got a little something, you got a little thump in that order. But would Pete, they would pay. They would probably pay because they're trying to get back into the island of relevancy. Right? You have Mackenzie Gore, you have a young squad. Would they break the bank and pay for a veteran slugger to kind of be the face of your league, the face of your team, rather? That's an intriguing one. And then outside shot, you know, if the Yankees decide that, hey, we're going to make Ben Rice the everyday catcher, first base is open. First base is open. So I could, in a world where everything else has fallen apart, I could see the Yankees going and making an offer on Pete. And I could see that happening. Now, how long? He probably wants six or seven.
Six, seven.
No. I think it's a four with an option for a five. I think that's more realistic.
How much?
You're looking, Naylor set it for 20 mil. So I think you got to go 25, 30 mil. somewhere in there. I think that's a realistic number for Pete. Like, $200 million, no. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I love you, Pete, but if that's what you think you're worth, vaya con Dios, because you're not
going to make it. So you're saying 60 mil a year? 5 years?
So I'm thinking five at 30 mil. So you're looking at
five at 30.
Five at 30 per year. So you're looking at 150 mil for the contract.
Okay.
So I think that's more than generous for a guy that is going to be, what, 36 by the time your contract is over? 35, 36? Power fades, man. Power fades over time. So, and defensively, he's okay. That's not going to get better. He's not going to, become a Gold Glover. So, it's kind of who he is. If I was presented 4 years with an option for a fifth at 30 mil a year, maybe 35 if we're going short term on the 4 year, I think that's probably the best he's going to get. I don't think there's this team out there that's going to give him $200 million. I don't think there's anybody out there who's going to give him what he wants.
Yeah, so for me, I really think Boston's the way to go. Especially if Boston doesn't get Bregman. I think they'll get Bregman. I think Bregman will go back there. Because now Muncy re-signed with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I originally thought Bregman was going to go there. So my number one choice would be Boston. And I'm in the same camp with you, like a 5 year, 150 mil kind of deal. I think he was looking for longer, obviously, and more money. But the market's just not there for you, dude. It's not like this past year you did yourself any better by the way you played. The other team I could see is Chicago, especially if Chicago, the Cubs, if they lose Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great insert there. If you lose Tucker, you bring in Pete. Virtually, like, to me, the same kind of bat, same kind of personality. And then, what?
It was weird. Right? Like, the Imanaga thing. Did you see that today? He took the qualifying offer?
He took the qualifying offer.
Yeah. So he got a $7 million raise. That's very telling. That is very telling. So I'm wondering if they're cheaping out, if the Cubs are going to be willing to spend in that, if they're going to be in that deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
If their ace had to opt out of his contract just to get a raise. It's like, dude, I'm going to go to the Dodgers. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fucking do it.
Do it. Just do it. Do it. Do it.
I'll call Shohei. Don't think I will.
So I'd say Boston. Next would be the Chicago Cubs. And yeah, I'm still sticking with the Giants. That's where his ass should be going. They'll give him his money. They'll give him whatever he wants. They need a bat. They need a player. I mean, I would be shocked if he went back to the Mets. And I'd even be more shocked if he went to the Yankees. What a slap in the dick that would be.
Hey, if they're willing to pay, you're going to go. And the way things shake out with David Stearns, he doesn't value the big slugger. He wants defense. He wants contact ability. That's what David Stearns values. And we've seen it in his construction with the Brewers. You'll have your boppers, but he didn't keep them. Right? Power is replaceable in the Stern system. So there seems to be a sea change, because now the Mets are listening on Jeff McNeil. The Mets are, maybe willing to let Pete walk, even though, he is a fan favorite. So we'll see. We'll definitely see where he goes. There's always that mystery team, right? It's a Boris client, so you wonder. There's always that team out there.
Colorado Rockies.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He'll go out there with Chris Bryant and just the witness protection program.
Let's go.
You know what would be interesting? The D-backs lost Christian Walker last year. What if he went to the desert? The ball flies out of Arizona. Like, that would be very interesting. we'll see what the market develops for Pete, because he also has to go with Murakami too. So that's also, he's got competition, right? Last year was Christian Walker. This year it's Murakami. Naylor's already off the board. So I think Pete, I said I was on record saying that he's probably going to do it sooner rather than later, because last year he was the last person in the game of musical chairs. I don't think he wants that again. But it wouldn't surprise me, given his agent, that he's the last one to the table yet again. And he's settling for another 2-year contract with an opt-out yet again.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, have a seat. Take out a piece of paper and a pencil. It is time to go into the classroom. D and I have statements, and we give letter grades for them. Here we go. Statement number one. Grade the Giants' performance against the Packers on Sunday.
They should have won this game, man. They should have won this game. They're up 7-0 first quarter. Jacobs gets hurt, doesn't come back. Emmanuel Wilson has 40 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Love's dog shit again, 13 for 24, but he had 2 tutties. Jameis, no touchdown. Tyrone Tracy came to play, man.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know you're you're going to probably be a lot harder than I am on them, but I give them a B, man. They went toe-to-toe with a team that's borderline playoff team. They should have won the game, but they didn't. I give them a B.
We're in the same stratosphere. I'm actually going to give them a B+. All things considered, coach getting fired, not knowing what you're going to get out of Mike Kafka, new starting quarterback. They were in it until the end. Now, Shane Bowen once again gets exposed. Not having Paulson Adebo was huge. They just picked on Dane Belton all day. It's like, 24, that's my bitch right there. Jordan Love was just like, I'm going to find 24, I'm going to throw it up. There he is. It was unbelievable. And Deontay Banks. Why the fuck is Deontay Banks still on this team? That one pass, I think it was to Watson. He was standing next to Watson with his hand in the air. Why are you next to him, motherfucker? Get in front of him. You stand in front of him, it's a pick. Why? Why? Kicking was abysmal, but kicking it was abysmal for both teams because of the wind. And Jameis, that soul-crushing pick at the end. I knew it. You knew it was going to happen.
I knew it.
God damn it. I knew it.
I'll have chicken wings.
But that's the thing. That's what you... It's Jameis. It's what you expect. He's going to be as much for his team as he is for the other team. He's just a giving man. He's just a giving man. And, like, it was coming. The Packers dropped 3. Like, he should have had like 3 or 4 picks in that game. But the Packers defense have frying pans for hand. Like, it was ridiculous. But they played good complimentary football. They played hard. Devin Singletary showed up with 2 rushing tutties. Right? That was the That was the best rushing attack. A real actual rushing attack. Like an honest to goodness New York fucking Giants running game that I've seen in a very long time. Cam Scatterboo doesn't do that. Now you add Scatterboo to that mix and it becomes a little bit more exciting. But like between the tackles running, I haven't seen that in a long fucking time. It was great. It was absolutely great. I just wish that our putts of a defensive coordinator could actually do his job properly. And you walk away with the win. But B+ for the Giants. Statement number two. Grade. Drew Brees' debut on Fox.
I mean, it was fine. I like the Tony Romo kind of. I know some people don't like it, but I kind of like Tony Romo, how he predicts what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he's very insightful on the plays, what teams have going on, what they're talking about in the locker room, what they're saying in the huddle. So I kind of like that approach. I compare Drew Brees to like Tom Brady, you know, it's like, and maybe even a Greg Olsen type. So I give it a B.
Oof. I'm giving it a D. Dear God, was it boring? Like, technically, it was fine.
Right.
Like, technically, excellent, right? But right. I have watched paint dry and been more entertained. Your job
Are
is
you
the
not
color.
Entertained?
No, I was not entertained, and that was the problem. Like, that's the thing. You're replacing Mark Sanchez, right? Because of what happened with Mark Sanchez.
Oh, what happened with Mark Sanchez?
Well, you know. Don't go to Indy.
My man's going to prison.
My man's going to jail.
My man is going to jail.
Jesus Christ. Don't end up in an alley in Indy at midnight.
With Mark Sanchez, you will not get out alive. Mark, are you following me? Mark, what the fuck is the matter with you?
That's my parking spot.
Get away from my parking spot.
Oh my God.
Mark, are you drunk? Mark, are you drunk, high, or stupid? Get the fuck away from me. Is this really happening right now? Am I going to fight you?
I don't care if you're 60. That's my parking spot. This fucking guy.
Can we see what's happening here?
Am I being punked? Like, what is this shit? What is this? What is going on?
Don't you work for CBS?
Oh my God. But yeah, at least when Mark Sanchez did the games, he provided some levity. Like, there was charisma there. Oh, Drew Brees is just very dull. So another word that begins with D. So there we go. Like, there's room for improvement. A lot of room for improvement. But technically, like, if he was doing what Peyton Manning was doing on the Manning cast with the Telestrator, okay. Like, you may have something. But, dude, like, you have to have a personality in there somewhere. Find it. Or you'll be the way of Jason Witten.
I don't know where it is, but find it.
I don't know where. Dig down deep. They have to. You have no choice. You find it. God damn it. Statement number three. Grade. Tua's idea of an NFL game in Jerusalem.
Where did that come from, dude?
CTE. That's where it came from.
I think Dubai is probably like the next spot, right? That's probably where they're going to wind up playing next. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Don't think the NFL is going to be rushing to go to Jerusalem to play a national football game. I'm going to give you an F there, Tua. But I give you an A for the way you guys have been playing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can save McDaniel's job, but damn, those boys are playing, Z. They're playing. They're playing hard. They're playing four quarters. They play all four quarters, that team. That team plays all four quarters.
They turned it around, man. They're turning it around. So I don't know. I don't know what got into them, but they are definitely trending upward. I mean, they're going to make a run at it. I mean, it's not going to do them any good, but hey, they have pride. This is what's new. You know, a new development in Miami. They actually have pride. NFL in Jerusalem, complete F. Absolutely not a good idea, you know, especially with what's going on, Gaza, what's going on politically. Yeah, Jerusalem is probably not the place, right? You had so many other options. You had so many other wonderful cities around the world that you could have chosen. that one's gonna be a no-go. Jerusalem's gonna be a no-go for a
We're gonna pass.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hard pass. I like the Dubai idea. I mean, everything else is in Dubai. Why not the NFL?
Yeah.
Why the hell not? I mean, you just had Madrid. It was fine. It looked like anywhere else. You know, you do the London games. It looks like anywhere else. So, I mean, if you're committed to the bit at this point, you might as well just, you know, just go with it. But I think you have to choose a country that's not besieged by war. That's probably, you know, a good idea on the geopolitical stage if you're Roger Goodell. And probably shouldn't listen to Tua on some things. You know, he's still trying to figure out like if his teammates are going to the meetings or not.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he has to figure out where his own meetings are. So it is what it is. F. All the way F. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoutePodcast. Drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ and let us know what you graded these assignments. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the absolutely coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Major League Baseball. What else is new? You get in bed with gambling. This is what happens. You wake up, you go to bed with dogs, you wake up with fleas. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for the Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right, so first up, I've got the wide receiver on the Cincinnati Bengals, Mr. Ja'Marr Chase, who decided it was a good idea to spit in the face of Jalen Ramsey and now has been suspended for one game. Where did you think this was gonna go, bruh? And then denies it, and it's clear as picture in the camera. You can see him spit on him. You see it, and then it's just hanging from his helmet. Ja'Marr Chase, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week.
We learned nothing from Jalen Smith.
Unbelievable. Next up, I've got the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski. Rumor is Shedeur Sanders has had zero reps with the first team prior to playing against the Ravens this weekend. That's not possible, right, Kev? Like, right? I mean, we're going to give him a 5-6 a week with the first team since he's the backup quarterback and your team is trash?
Nah.
Kevin Stefanski, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, Shador Sanders.
Ooh.
The quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, the backup quarterback, the son of Deion Sanders, finally went into the game to a round of applause. Put his hand up in the air. He was telling the crowd to get loud. Get loud. I'm coming in. I'm finally playing. Oops. To go 4-for-16 for 47 yards and a pick.
Oops.
I get that you didn't get first team reps, but dude, you always got to be ready to play, especially when you're the fucking backup quarterback, man, on a trash team. You could have won that game. Shador Sanders, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue with any of them. None of them. Shador Sanders in particular, like, this is what people were clamoring for the whole time. And he got his house broken into. So that was, yeah, just insult to injury.
It's going around.
So bad day made worse for one Mr. Shador Sanders. I am going to start with Dylan Danis. So a former UFC fighter in the camp of Conor McGregor. He's now banned by the UFC after being a part in a cage side brawl with UFC welterweight champion Islam Makhachev's camp prior to UFC 322 at the Garden on Saturday. So this Khabib Conor McGregor beef is not dying by any stretch of the imagination, because a putz like Dylan Danis won't let it go. So Dylan Danis, find something else to do, because yeah, you just got banned by the UFC. Figure out a new line of work, son. Dylan Danis, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Texas football getting spanked by Georgia 35-10. Further tarnishing a season that started out with a preseason number one. Yikes. Tons of hype for Arch Manning. And real competition? Nah, we don't want that. Nah. Texas football, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number three, the Chargers. The Los Angeles Chargers. Jaguars 35, Chargers 6. 81 yards for Justin Herbert. This is not a nap time situation anymore. This is a full on coma. Like, they've gone beyond the traditional Michael Wilbon nap. They are officially in coma territory. Los Angeles Chargers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And an honorable mention to Virginia Tech hiring James Franklin. You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting. Let the buyer beware on that one. Virginia Tech, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.